3 for the reading of our scripture this morning, verses 1 through 7. Follow along as we hear the good news. The prophet writes, "But now, says the Lord, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be scorched and the flame won't burn you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cusha and Seba in your place, because you are precious in my eyes. You are honored, and I love you. I give people in your place and nations in exchange for your life. Don't fear, I am with you. From the east I'll bring your children. From the west I'll gather you. I'll say to the north, give them back, and to the south, don't detain them. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I created for my glory, whom I have formed and made." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we meditate on these passages this morning, may we remember the meaning of baptism and once again experience the presence of your Holy Spirit in the fullness of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Come to the waters. Come to the waters of baptism and be renewed, refreshed, reborn. Come to the waters and remember your baptism, what the Lord has done, and how the Lord is good, and rest in the promises of your God. Come to the waters of baptism. Come and be washed and be made clean to show that you are changing your heart and life, to show you have repented and are turning back to God, to show the outward result of the inward changes that God has made in your life. Come to the waters. In our scripture today, the prophet Isaiah is dreaming of a day when God will be with the people, when God's presence will bring the people back home, back from exile, back through the waters that simultaneously symbolize both life and death. And it's a homecoming for them. It's a call to homecoming that goes beyond the borders of Israel. It goes beyond the borders of exile. It goes out to every nation and every tribe and every tongue and every people, to every person, to all sons and daughters who call upon the Lord. And we see his hopes and his dreams come to fruition. We see his prophecy take on a new reality when we read the age-old story that we celebrate today in Luke chapter 3, as John makes his way up and down the Jordan Valley along the Jordan River, and he's calling for people to come to the waters of baptism. And then Jesus shows up, and he wades into the moving, rushing, living water. And he receives the water from John being poured over him as he is baptized, providing an outward symbol of who he is on the inside. And then immediately following his baptism, the heavens open up and the Holy Spirit descends on him and rests upon Jesus. And God's voice is audibly heard saying, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him." And it's at this point in time we must realize that Jesus has yet to do anything. He had not faced the true character-defining temptation at this moment. He had not performed any miracles, and he doesn't do any miracles until after his baptism. This was the beginning of his ministry. Yet already God loved him and found happiness in him. And today we remember that, and we celebrate the baptism of the Lord on this Sunday. And at the same time, we remember our own baptism and what that means, and we give thanks. The word baptism in Greek, which is baptizo, and in Hebrew, kabas, literally means to wash. However, it has a deeper meaning than just taking a bath or taking a shower. Everybody did one of those today, right? Yes. Or last night before, you know. It's not like that. It was a sacrificial washing. It's a holy washing. It's a sacred ritual which makes one ritually pure. In fact, baptism or this type of washing is a very ancient practice, not just for Christians, but also for Jews. It was part of the Jewish people's faith. See, before there was a temple, God had the people make a tabernacle, and basically it was a mobile tent. If you want to imagine it as a modern RV without the wheels, but you take it to the campsite, wherever they're going to stay the night, and you set the tent up. But before you can go in outside, there was a bronze wash basin, which the priests used to wash their face and their hands and their feet before they could enter into the holy places, so that they could properly present themselves and make offerings before God. Now, whenever they did this, there were different modes of washing and preparation for ministry. There were times when they were fully immersed in water, and there were moments when water was poured over them or parts of their body. And finally, there were occasions where blood or water was sprinkled to signify purification. Many scholars believe that when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, John poured water over him. But additionally, the symbology of baptism and the appearance of the Holy Spirit is something that God has promised through the ages. It's not something he only promised about Jesus. Well, he promised that, but it's also something he promised to us. And we see this throughout the scriptures, including in Ezekiel, when Ezekiel 36, God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be cleansed, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. Or in Isaiah 43, when God says, I will pour out water and my spirit upon you and your descendants, and my blessings upon you and your offspring. And in Joel chapter 2, when God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your men and women shall dream dreams and see visions. And I will pour out my spirit on everyone. We find their unveiling through Jesus and at Pentecost. And today, we celebrate the water symbolizing how God offers us new life through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. See, for us, baptism is a sacrament. It's a visible sign of the invisible work that God has done for us and God is doing in us. It's literally the intersection of human and divine agency, where human and God work together, cooperate together in a way that shows that we are forgiven, that we have dedicated our life to Jesus, and that we are ready to live anew. So when the water is sprinkled upon us, it's symbolic of God sprinkling clean water upon us and cleansing us, offering us his spirit. And then when the water is poured out over us, it's symbolic of the ancient washing ritual and the promise of God pouring out his spirit upon us. And when we are immersed, it is symbolic of us dying to our old self and rising to new life to show that we have died with Christ and that we are being resurrected with Christ. So John's refrain, to come to the waters, was a call to prepare for Christ. And it's not just a call from John the Baptist. It is also the call of the church, because we, the body of Christ, make a similar call as we follow the commands of Jesus, where Christ said to be baptized and then go and to baptize. Moreover, baptism celebrates our reception of the gospel, and it's a celebration of our reception of the light of Christ. That when we are baptized, we're making a public confession that we belong to God and God belongs to us, that we are His children, and that He is our God. And this means that we become members of the universal body of Christ. And we recognize that something is different. Something has changed. It doesn't mean we'll be perfect, though some people may experience a sudden dramatic change and find it easy from then on out to live on fire with their life consecrated to God. Yet for most of us, we're going to have to work every day on sanctification, every day on living more like Christ. And then we also realize that even when we fall, we can always repent. We can turn back to God. We can remember our baptism. And remembering our baptism reminds us that God loves us and accepts us as we are. But He loves us too much to leave us as we are. So each and every day we continue to grow in Christ so that we can become more like Christ. That's one of the beautiful things about today. Remembering our baptism and remembering Jesus' baptism as we remember that Jesus chose to be baptized so that we can follow in His example. One of the great church fathers, one of my favorites, named Gregory of Nazianzus, wrote in his homily on the Festival of Lights that Jesus didn't need baptism. However, we needed Jesus to be baptized. For when the water flowed over Jesus, He purified the water so that when we experience the water, we are purified by it. As we remember our baptism today, we remember the call of God on our lives to live in the freedom that God gives us to be the best that we can be. That we are free to offer mercy and forgiveness and love like no one has ever seen before. That we are free to live into and to share God's grace in a world that is confounded by the grace in the true, unselfish, unmerited, unconditional power of God's grace. That we are free to make life better and you better at life through Jesus Christ. In other words, we are free to be the church. Meaning, we don't go to church, we don't come to church, we go and be the church. We become a church without walls, a church without borders, a people who look beyond the superficial appearances on the surface, who look beyond the superficial appearances of our neighbors and our strangers that sometimes scare us away, and we get beyond that fear, and we love them. That as baptized believers, we see that deep down they too are made in the image of God. That even if they haven't done anything good or haven't done anything for God, that God loves them just like God loves us. And so, we too are going to live like a God who calls out beyond the borders. And we're going to live out our faith without borders and create a home in our hearts, a home in our lives without borders, just like the faith that we've experienced, so that we can share it with the world, that we can make this home in our heart for the least and the last and for the least and the lost and all those who need God. And we're going to invite them into a place and into a space that is a home within our presence that helps them experience the love of God. And finally, no matter where we go, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we face, or what we faced, or what we're facing, or what we will face now, or tomorrow, or whenever, in whatever life or the waters bring forth, whether it's from life or death or back to life again, God is with us. As God said through the prophet Isaiah, "Don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be scorched, and the flame won't burn you, because I am the Lord your God." So may we remember our baptism and be thankful. Amen.